Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, November 5th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Stocks in Asia slump as China hits back against White House trade policy.
Oil continues its slide despite renewed sanctions on Iran.
Bonds in Italy fall as pressure mounts over the country's budget standoff with the EU.
It's the final pitch from candidates heading into tomorrow's midterm elections. Plus, President Trump and former President Obama were out on the campaign trail. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashow in sports with a loss for the Jets in Miami. Knicks also lost, wins for the Nets and the Rangers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and a top online broker for the eighth consecutive year by Barron's. Visit IBKR.com/YIB to learn more.
And global stocks are mixed this morning as optimism over a potential U.S.-China trade deal fades. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about a point now. Dow futures down 13. NASDAQ futures up 3.5. The DAX in Germany is little changed, up less than 0.1%. So is the FTSE 100. And the CAC in Paris is up 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.6%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 2.1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 3.20%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 28 cents to $62.86 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed, up 60 cents to $12.3390 an ounce. The euro, $1.1385, and the yen, 113.23. Nathan.
Karen, let's start with the latest trade rhetoric, with Chinese President Xi Jinping hitting back against President Trump's policies. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports.
President Xi criticized the law of the jungle in a veiled swipe against President Trump. He spoke at the inaugural China International Import Expo and said that the practices of beggar thy neighbor would lead to global stagnation. Xi also pledged to further open up markets to the world. He said that China would continue to promote globalization, pledging to cut import tariffs and boost domestic consumption. I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Last week's optimism on trade appears to be fading after those remarks from China's president, with stocks in Asia slumping more than 1% to start the week. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from Singapore.
Markets in Hong Kong and Japan led the declines as the MSCI Asia Pacific Index slumped the most since October 25. Tencent shares fell in Hong Kong, dragging on the Hang Seng after the tech firm posted a more than 9% gain on Friday, driven by a short squeeze-driven rally. The Hong Kong dollar dropped the most since 2016 as the rate gap widened again, while the yuan edged closer to 7 to the dollar, drawing little help from Chinese President Xi's pledges to ease trade barriers. But the yen barely budged, even as Bank of Japan Governor Haruhiko Kuroda hinted he wants to normalize monetary policy once the central bank gets closer to its price goal. The Nikkei 225 closed down by 1.6% in Tokyo to 21,898 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. U.S. sanctions on Iran are back. Restrictions were reimposed at midnight, but there are still questions about how they'll be implemented. Bloomberg's Anthony DiPaola has details from Dubai.
The U.S. will announce in the morning, Washington, D.C. time, the eight countries that got the waivers to continue importing some Iranian oil. We may not get details on how many barrels those countries could bring in, so there's still probably going to be some question marks around that. There are other importers who probably won't get some waivers. That will raise questions about where they're going to get the oil. The oil market has been underwhelmed by the introduction of sanctions today. We're down in the low 70s compared with up around $85 a barrel last month.
And checking prices now, they are lower, with Brent crude at $72.65 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate is at $62.83.
Italy's budget standoff with the EU tops the agenda as euro-area finance ministers meet in Brussels today, and that has Italian bonds falling. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. That discussion comes as Italy is asked to submit revised spending plans by November the 13th. The original budget proposal was rejected 2 weeks ago in an unprecedented move. Despite repeated warnings, Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte has said there's no plan B for the fiscal programme, indicating the government has no intention to comply with EU demands. European Commission Vice President Valdis Dombrovskis told Bloomberg the bloc is, quote, in discussions with Italian authorities and hoping to reach a constructive outcome. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Sebastian. While here in the U.S., investors are bracing for the fallout from tomorrow's midterm election. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Nathan, good morning. The consensus view among investors is that Democrats will flip the House and Republicans retain the Senate. And that's seen as ushering in political gridlock that could slow growth. Investors warn that a divided Congress may not be fully baked into asset prices at this point. Richard Wise at American Century Investment says investors may have to adjust to the possibility that, in his words, there's no more candy being passed out from the White House. J.P. Morgan Asset Management says the dollar's strength will probably lose steam after the midterms, given the likelihood a divided Congress will stymie further reform. Votes will be cast tomorrow for 33 members of the Senate, all 435 seats in the House of Representatives and 39 governorships. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. There's also a full plate of earnings this week with about 75 companies in the S&P 500 reporting. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has a preview.
Traders and investors get back to work after a winning week for U.S. stocks, but after Apple's report, doubts remain about the capacity of earnings to deliver. Lee Drogan is the CEO and founder of Estimizing.
What I'm interested to see in the back half is the consumer numbers. You know, names like Lululemon, Target, all massive upward revisions going into reports here. The question is the fact that these stocks haven't taken it on the chin priced in, or are we going to see the consumer continue to really perform well?
This week we'll be hearing from car companies, including BMW, Ferrari, Subaru, and Toyota. Pharmaceutical companies such as AstraZeneca, Eli Lilly, and Regeneron. Also on deck, Qualcomm, Activision Blizzard, and Marriott. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And again, S&P futures are a little changed this morning. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr. Find out what else is going on in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. It is the final push before tomorrow's midterm elections. President Trump and former President Obama both hit the campaign trail yesterday. President Trump was in Georgia and Chattanooga, Tennessee.
We got to win Congress, in all fairness, just because the Democrats won't be doing that. The Democrats are going to be raising your taxes. They're not cutting your taxes.
Former President Obama was in Gary, Indiana, and in the Chicago area, where he told the crowd to support Democrats.
Health care for millions is on the ballot. A fair shake for working families is on the ballot. And most importantly, the character of our nation is on the ballot.
Polls show the Democratic Party is poised to win a majority in the House of Representatives, but the party's edge has narrowed in recent weeks amid heavy campaigning by President Trump and a torrent of TV ads. A CBS News Battleground Tracker poll projects Democrats to win 225 House seats, just beyond the 218 needed for a majority. Ronna Romney McDaniel, chairwoman of the Republican National Committee, said that about 27 House seats are within the margin of error heading into tomorrow's election. McDaniel spoke on ABC's This Week.
It's tight. It's going to depend on voter turnout on Election Day. Democrat enthusiasm is definitely there. We are seeing that in the early voting in all of these key House and Senate races, and Republicans have been matching. So literally Election Day voting is going to determine the balance of the House.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. The trial of the notorious Mexican drug lord known as El Chapo, allegedly responsible for dozens of murders, begins today in New York. Joaquin Guzman pleaded not guilty to 17 federal charges in June of 2017. He was extradited to New York City. Trial begins with jury selection. The jury that will decide his fate on drug conspiracy charges will be anonymous.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, things going from bad to worse for the Jets. Their third straight loss, second time they've been beaten by the Dolphins. In Miami, only one touchdown was scored all day.
Fourth quarter, 6-3 Miami. Darnold, bat snap, but he handles it. Gets it down, throws it out. It's intercepted by Jerome Baker down the sideline. He's got speed, touchdown.
All right.
Miami.
Jerome Baker with the pick six. Great timing for that one.
Dolphins ready to call. Put Miami ahead 13-3, and they won 13-6. And in the call, they mentioned the bad snap. There were several of those, and there were four Sam Darnold interceptions. Two came very late in the game, but the rookie now leads the NFL with 14 interceptions thrown in the Jets' ball. The 3-6. Last team to lose, the LA Rams, 45-35 in New Orleans in a battle of the top two teams in the NFC. Battle of two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time last night. Tom Brady and the Patriots beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers 31-17. Knicks ran into a desperate team. Washington had won only once all year. The Wizards down the Knicks 108-95 in D.C. Good win for the Nets, 122-97 over Philadelphia. The Rangers coming on, won their third in a row. 3-1 over Buffalo at the Garden. Pair of goals for Jimmy Vesey. First leg of the MLS playoffs, both the Red Bulls and NYCFC suffered 1-0 losses. As the leaders headed to the finish of the New York City Marathon in Central Park, Lalisa Desisa of Ethiopia trailed last year's winner, Jeffrey Kamwar of Kenya, but Desisa made a late push, pulled out the victory. Time was just under 2 hours 6 minutes, second fastest time ever. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Speaking of football, let's take a look at college football, where CBS says the Alabama-LSU game from Saturday night primetime drew the best overnight television rating of any college football game this season. Top-ranked Crimson Tide's 29-0 victory earned a 6.7 rating, up 81% from last season's 3.7 primetime rating for a college football game. S&P futures a point lower. Dow futures down 16. NASDAQ futures now up by 3 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Bloomberg. Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Futures, little change this morning. Dow futures down about 3 points. NASDAQ futures up 6. The DAX in Germany is up almost 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 3.20%. And NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 33 cents to $62.81 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Georgia's Democratic Party says Republican gubernatorial nominee Brian Kemp is reckless for accusing Democrats of trying to hack into the state's online voter database. Kemp, who is the current Secretary of State, runs the system. In the NFL, the Jets lost along with the Redskins and Ravens. The Patriots won. In the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Wizards. The Nets won. NHL, the Rangers won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you very much. 6:20 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker. And live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And let's get you set up for the day and the week ahead right now. Helping us do that in New York, John McCrory, the Senior Executive Editor for Bloomberg News. In Beijing, we are joined by Managing Editor Emma O'Brien. And in London, the European News Director, David Merritt. Emma, let's start with you. A veiled swipe at Trump from Xi. Doesn't sound like anybody's making trade concessions or getting along too well right now.
That's right. Chinese President Xi Jinping definitely didn't turn up to the opening of today's big import fair that they're holding in Shanghai, intending to wave a white flag or even an olive branch to the U.S. on trade. His speech today didn't even have a really conciliatory tone. In fact, it was almost laying down the gauntlet to the U.S. In Xi's own circuitous style. He talked about how the world needed to reject beggar thy neighbor trade practices and push back on this idea that China is operating on a less than level playing field. He said countries shouldn't be training a flashlight on others and not themselves, which has been taken as pushback against the U.S. The market didn't like this tone, interpreting it as a sign this supposed trade deal that Trump has been touting won't be easily forged.
John, next to you, Election Day in the U.S. tomorrow. Can we expect surprises?
Well, I think the biggest surprise so far, John, has been that it looks like it's going to be the biggest turnout for a midterm election in more than 50 years. And it really does seem to be a referendum on President Trump, both pro and con. I would take the market reaction as maybe not a surprise, because if the Democrats take the House, which is anticipated, and the Republicans hold the Senate, that would lead to gridlock. That's usually pretty good for markets. So markets seem to be more focused on trade, as Emma just talked about.
Okay, David in London. Let's see, what are we going to talk to David Merritt in London about? Oh, yeah, Brexit.
Yes, well, you know, maybe not too much longer, because it seems that perhaps
please.
The reports are true, we may be about to get a deal, at least a negotiated settlement between the British and the European Union. The reports on this are unconfirmed at this point, but there are a few things to look out for this week. We have a big cabinet meeting tomorrow where the agenda has been rather kept in secret. The assumption is that Mrs. May is about to present her cabinet with a deal. There is some sort of resolution to this big problem about the Northern Irish border. And there would then be a special summit called a bit later this month for European leaders to sign off on that deal. Then, of course, it gets back to the British Parliament, which is its own problem. But for now, there's a bit of optimism out there. We're seeing the pound a little bit stronger on the back of it. So, yes, maybe, perhaps this is the beginning of the end of this particular part of the process.
Yes, stay tuned, as they say. John, back to you in New York here. Iran oil sanctions actually kicked in last night, but the devil is in the details, and there are a lot of details.
Absolutely, John. The focus so far for the market has been the countries that actually are going to get exemptions from the sanctions, and a lot of them, including China, and which is negotiating with the U.S. about that, and India, Korea. What that means is that it's really not going to change the market for oil all that much, since some of the biggest importers of Iran oil are likely to continue getting it. The sanctions may not have the big effect that was anticipated.
And sanctions imposed, NYMEX crude down 0.5%, Brent crude down 0.3%. Emma, back to you. Another central bank hinting at returning to a normal monetary policy. I almost forgot what normal was.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I might be an old woman by the time the BOJ finally exits its post-crisis stimulus phase. But Governor Haruhiko Kuroda did indicate in a speech today that normalization is on the horizon, saying that Japan's no longer in a situation where it needs to decisively implement a large-scale policy to overcome deflation, quote-unquote. This is to reach view as their somewhat elusive 2% inflation goal. This adds to the view held by a lot in the investment and economics community that Kuroda is really trying to lay the groundwork for pulling back further from stimulus, but it wasn't really enough to move the needle on the yen, which is little changed today.
Okay, David, back to you in London. EU at odds with Italy. It's over their budget.
That's right. This is the other big problem the European Commission is facing, how to deal with the wild extremes of the Italian government and their spending plans. They've already formally rejected the Italian budget. The Italians have got 2 weeks to come back. Today, the European finance ministers are meeting in Brussels. This is top of their agenda. What do they do? Who is going to blink first? The Italians, for their part, have been digging their heels in, saying they're not going to budge 1 cent on their spending plans. So Europe has got to decide. We're in chartered territory at the extreme. There could be financial penalties for Italy, but it's going to be about who blinks first. Italian bonds are selling off a bit more today on that news.
And John, back to you. Fed meeting Thursday. Can I hit the snooze button?
Probably, John. What's likely to happen is that the Fed will not raise interest rates this time. However, the market expects a policy statement from the Fed that says steady as she goes on rate rises, so we should see one in December.
And Emmett, can I finish up with you? SoftBank seems to hit it out of the park. What's the story? Give me 40 seconds.
Yeah, it was a good day for SoftBank in many ways with this earnings result that beat all analysts' expectations. But the focus at the earnings briefing shifted very much toward Saudi Arabia, which is the biggest investor in Masayoshi Son's $100 billion Vision Fund. He said he addressed it up front at the meeting, addressing the murder of the journalist Khashoggi, saying he pressed the Saudis to get to the bottom of the killing, but he said he won't stop taking their money, that they'll still use Saudi cash for investments because they have an obligation to help the country diversify.
Emma O'Brien in Beijing, thanks a lot. European news director David Merritt, he was in London. John McCrory in the studio with me this morning. Thanks all of you for this setting up the week ahead. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. S&P futures right now up a point.
And for breaking news wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter have launched TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media, offering live video coverage and hourly updated top news reports verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC.
Casting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures starting to point higher now, while Asian stocks are lower to begin the week as optimism over a U.S.-China trade deal fades.
Chinese President Xi Jinping hit back against protectionist trade policies from President Trump in a speech in Shanghai. He also pledged to further cut import tariffs and open China's markets.
Crude oil is on track for a sixth day of declines, even as sanctions on Iran snap back into place today. Checking oil now, West Texas Intermediate is at $62.76 a barrel.
Today's U.S. economic calendar features a pair of reports on U.S. service industries. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
At 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time, the economic research firm Market issues its service industry index based on responses from purchasing managers. The market PMI has seesawed since the start of the year, hitting a three-year high in May. Then at 10 a.m. Wall Street time, we'll get the ISM non-manufacturing index for October. In September, the ISM index rose to 61.6, the highest since August 1997, on broad-based strength. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. The pound is trading at a two-week high after a Sunday Times report that Theresa May secured Brexit concessions on a customs union. Still, a Downing Street spokesman calls the report speculation.
Italy's budget standoff with the EU is in focus. Italian bonds are falling as euro area finance ministers meet in Brussels today.
In Japan, SoftBank reported second quarter profit that far exceeded the highest analyst estimate. The results were largely because of multi-billion dollar gains on a handful of Masayoshi Son's technology investments.
And Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway reported third quarter operating profit that doubled. The firm reported strength across its insurance, railroad, and manufacturing companies. Shares of Berkshire Hathaway are up 3% in early trading.
6:32 now on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX rose on Friday to finish the week at 1951. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 2010. That's this morning's Volatility report, Karen.
And now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they are little change this morning. Dow futures up 9. NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.20%. They yield on the 2-year 2.89%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 37 cents to $62.77 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed at $12.33.50 an ounce. The euro at $1.1374, the yen 113.26. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it is 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr and find out what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Today is the final full day of candidates and supporters on both sides of the aisle to make their pitch before tomorrow's midterm elections. President Trump will campaign today in Ohio, Indiana, and Missouri. Yesterday, Trump campaigned in Georgia and Tennessee. Trump in Chattanooga says Democrats are going to raise your taxes.
Got to win the House. I think we're doing great in the House. I think we're doing great in the Senate. But who knows, right? Who knows? You got to get out to vote.
Meanwhile, former President Obama was in the Chicago area last night, slamming Republicans over health care.
They have declared war on Obamacare. They've declared war on the Affordable Care Act and all the provisions in it.
The latest polls show Democrats poised to regain control of the House, but there are no guarantees. The sons of murdered Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi are appealing for the return of their father's body. Khashoggi was killed after he entered the Saudi consulate in Istanbul on October 2nd. Khashoggi's son Salah told CNN there's a lot of confusing information about his father's death.
It is a mystery, and this is putting a lot of burden on us, all of us, that everybody is seeking for information just as we do. And they think that we have answers. Unfortunately, we don't.
Saudi authorities have admitted that Khashoggi's murder was premeditated. Sweeping U.S. sanctions on Iran's energy and banking sectors are being reimposed today. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports it comes after President Trump's decision to walk away from a six-nation nuclear deal.
The president's goal is to inflict so much economic pain that Iran abandons its nuclear program permanently, and he's vowed to exploit the U.S. financial system's global reach to ensure other countries fall into line or risk being barred from the vastly bigger U.S. economy. Speaking to reporters at the end of last week, he hinted he's not done yet.
They're very serious sanctions. They're very big. They'll be elevated from there. But as you know, sanctions are starting on Iran, and you know, Iran is taking a very big hit.
The stakes are high for Trump as well. He now must decide how much to punish anyone who doesn't comply, from European central banks and strategic allies to major powers such as China. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashon.
Nathan, plenty of quarterbacks have had rough rookie seasons and ended up in the Hall of Fame. Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman, the Jets rookie QB, Sam Darnold, has had his share of rough moments. He's thrown 8 interceptions over the last 2 games in Miami. He threw a pick six to start the fourth quarter. That was the only touchdown of the game. The Dolphins won 13-6. Not all Darnold's fault. He got sacked 4 times. His center kept making bad snaps, and can't blame the Jets' defense. They held Miami to only 7 first downs, just 168 yards. Jamal Adams did his part, but it came in the Jets' 3rd straight loss.
I'm sick of losing, honestly. I'm sick of losing. Yeah, man, it's enough. Enough is enough, honestly. I'm fed up with losing, man.
Dolphins sweep the season series. Elsewhere, the Saints outscored the previously unbeaten Rams 45-35. 4 TD passes for Drew Brees. So New Orleans has won 7 in a row. 6 straight wins for New England. 31-17 last night over Green Bay as Tom Brady beat Aaron Rodgers. Just the second time ever that they have faced off. Knicks battled back in Washington and then went cold and lost to the Wizards 108-95. The Nets with a 41-point third quarter. Easy win at Barclays over Philadelphia, 122-97. Rangers, pair of goals, 19 seconds apart. Early second period, they beat Buffalo at the Garden 3-1. MLS playoffs, both the Red Bulls and NYCFC are in a hole after losing 1-0. The 48th New York City Marathon, 50,000 runners took part. The winner, Lalisa Desisa of Ethiopia, Mary Keitany of Kenya, the women's winner for the 4th time. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stachel. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
For years, economists have puzzled over a question crucial to the well-being of American workers. Why does the law of supply and demand no longer apply to the labor market? Employers keep hiring, pushing the unemployment rate to record lows, yet wages haven't been rising as quickly as in the past. Researchers are converging on an answer. The labor market isn't free. If they're right, it's a problem that needs to be addressed, or else millions of Americans will fail to reap the full benefits of economic growth. Part of the remedy is to expand workers' options by breaking down barriers to mobility. Congress should also outlaw no-poaching agreements more thoroughly. Capitalism succeeds when its benefits are broadly distributed. Freeing up the labor market would help. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 on Wall Street, a new privacy proposal calls for fines and even prison time for company executives who mislead the government on data protection. Nancy Lyons is in our Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom with details.
Democratic Senator Ron Wyden says it's time for some sunshine on the shadowy network of information sharing. His bill calls for annual reports to be filed by large companies holding data on more than a million customers.
If top executives mislead the FTC in those reports, they could face, you know, hefty fines and up to 20 years in prison.
Bloomberg Law's Sarah Merkin says the bill would also create a do-not-track system to let consumers opt out of companies sharing their data with third parties. Prospects for the bill are unclear and could depend on the outcome of the midterm elections, with Democrats more likely to move forward on the plan. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. 6:39 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nathan, finding workers to sustain growth remains the top concern of small business owners in the latest findings from the National Federation of Independent Business. The NFIB members report job creation remained solid in October with a net addition of 0.15 workers per firm, a seasonally adjusted 22% of owners do plan to create new jobs. That's 4 point below August's record high. However, 38% of all owners reported job openings they couldn't fill in the current period, equal to September's record high. And 60% of owners reported hiring or trying to hire, with most of them reporting few or no qualified applicants for the positions they're trying to fill. Bottom line, for small businesses, the labor force is not growing quickly enough to satisfy demand. Yeah, that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. The number of Fidelity investment account holders with more than $1 million in their retirement accounts is growing. It soared 41% in the last year. Fidelity says more than 187,000 account holders have balances of at least seven figures. That is almost 10 times as many as just one decade ago. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this Monday morning. And coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking, mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Bloomberg Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com. And futures this morning, they're a little changed to higher. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures up 16 points. S&P's gained 2 and NASDAQ futures climbed by 11. The U.S. 10 yield at 3.2%. Japan fell 1.6% overnight, while most European markets are posting modest gains this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. services and composite PMIs. And at 10 o'clock, the ISM. Non-manufacturing composite. Regarding earnings this morning, Diamond Offshore Q3 adjusted loss per share was narrower than estimates, and Ferrari revenue missed estimates. In other news, Gordon Haskett said that GE has potential downside to $5 a share. And wrapping things up, Chevron was raised to outperform at Credit Suisse, Starbucks upgraded to buy at Mizuho, Under Armour upgraded to overweight at Piper, and Viacom downgraded to neutral over at UBS. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the most expensive midterm campaign in U.S. history is coming to a finish ahead of tomorrow's election. Sides braced for a possible split decision that, according to polls, would hand the House to Democrats and leave Republicans holding on to or expanding their Senate majority. Today, President Trump will campaign in three states today, Missouri, Ohio, and Indiana. Former President Obama will campaign today in the South and Midwest. Iranian officials say the country is being targeted by a cyber attack. The claims come the same day U.S. sanctions on the country, once lifted by the nuclear deal, resumed. In the NFL, the Jets lost along with the Redskins and Ravens. The Patriots won
NBA, the Knicks lost to the Wizards. The Nets won. In the NHL, the Rangers won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. And the midterm election was most certainly in focus on the Sunday morning political talk shows heard here on Bloomberg Radio. With Election Day 2018 now just one day away, Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee Chairman Chris Van Hollen appeared on three programs, including ABC's This Week, where he admitted his side's got a tough map.
These are some very close races. And, of course, they're in states that Donald Trump won big. And it's a testament to these candidates that they're so focused on what matters to people in their state.
Democrat enthusiasm is definitely there. We are seeing that in the early voting in all of these key House and Senate races, and Republicans have been matching.
Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel on the same program. But it's not just Congress in play, so are governor's mansions in dozens of states.
On the governor's map, it is sort of the reverse of what it is in the Senate. There's currently 36 governor's races, 26 of which the Republicans, we hold the seat. So it's easy to say this is a little bit more of an uphill battle for us.
Bill Haslam is head of the Republican Governors Association, one Democrat hoping to flip her state, Stacey Abrams of Georgia, who would be the first black woman governor of any state if elected. President Trump has called her unqualified.
I find his assessments to be vapid and shallow.
Abrams and Haslam were on NBC's Meet the Press. As for whether tomorrow's vote will be secure, Senate Intelligence Committee Vice Chair Mark Warner tells CBS Face the Nation it's better than it was 2 years ago.
DHS has been doing a very good job in terms of working with individual election registrars. The fact that we have a federal, state, and local circumstance in election meetings, these are lots of different lines of control.
And on Fox News Sunday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo addressed the reimposition of sanctions on Iran, saying they've already reduced the country's oil exports by 1 million barrels a day.
We've done all of this while making sure that American consumers don't suffer. We've got Brent crude at about the same price it was back in May when the president announced the withdrawal from the JCPOA. That's important for American consumers, and the march to zero continues.
And that is just some of the conversation from the Sunday morning political shows heard on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2. Let's get more on campaign 2018. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me now with just one day left, the final series of polls out. Where do things stand, Kate?
Yeah, here we are. It's been a long road, but we're here on kind of decision day 2018 eve. And so it looks as though, in a weird way, after everything that has happened, it seems as though things are ending up where they started out, which is essentially the polling indicating that Democrats are likely but not guaranteed to win the House, and that, you know, we're not likely to see the Democrats take control of the Senate. And so I think that probably is the most likely scenario. But I think everyone, myself included, who watches elections is thinking back, you know, to 2016, 2 years ago, when people were really surprised by the outcome and you know, kind of saying this is what the polling indicates, but with the caveat that, you know, anything can really happen.
Yeah, we certainly had expectations upended 2 years ago. So I guess the feeling is that we'd be surprised if there weren't any surprises, right?
Yeah, maybe that is the new normal, is that, you know, we're kind of everyone's bracing for what is this, you know, November 6th surprise going to turn out to be, that we're in this thing that we're not anticipating. There's been obviously, you know, as we just heard, a lot of talk about the security of the elections, whether there's going to be efforts by foreign powers to sort of interfere. That's certainly something that, you know, voters and vote watchers and political analysts are all much more attuned to than they were 2 years ago. But that doesn't mean that's going to happen, or that doesn't mean that's not going to happen. It also doesn't mean that potentially that won't be immediately obvious. So we may not know for, you know, days or weeks if something like that did occur.
Now, one thing that's certainly noticeable in these final days of campaigning is you have President Trump on one side. He's going to three states today, and former President Barack Obama has emerged as the main spokesman for the Democratic side. For a midterm election, it's pretty interesting to see two presidents at the forefront.
Absolutely. And that's not something that we saw. You know, it's very different from what we saw when Obama was, campaigning during the midterms in, 2010, which is sort of his comparable midterm election. At that point, George W. Bush was so unpopular still. He's become a little more popular now after as the years have gone by. But he was so unpopular still then that we didn't really see him go out campaigning for Republican candidates in that election. So I think the most sort of unusual aspect of this is not so much that we're seeing Trump campaign on behalf of Republicans in the closing days, but that we're seeing Obama having the staying power to still be viewed as an asset for Democrats heading into the midterms.
And in terms of the issues that both men are campaigning on, you have President Trump talking a lot about immigration. You have former President Obama talking a lot about concerns about health care and the direction of the country as a whole. It feels as though they're really focusing on driving the base out as opposed to perhaps the swing voters.
And I think that's the thing. I think you've hit the nail on the head there is that, this midterm election more than perhaps many others will turn out to be an election that's really driven by the base and is highly polarized and that, a lot of this sort of middle of the road independent voters who maybe aren't as interested in politics end up staying home. That's certainly a dynamic that, I and others will be looking at once the results are in.
In our last 30 seconds here, are there one or two races you're going to be watching particularly closely to see where the direction overall could go tomorrow?
Yeah, I think, obviously just because of the timing, these races on the East Coast are going to be the ones we're going to be focusing on as like the canaries in the coal mine. One in particular, there's a number of there's a House district in suburban Philadelphia where Republican Brian Fitzpatrick is seeking re-election. That's a district that Hillary Clinton won in 2016. So I think that's the example of the type of House district that myself and others will be looking at.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. Read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal to follow all the action ahead of the election tomorrow. And a reminder for the very latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, tune into Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:55 on Wall Street, and with just one day to go until the midterm election, we're looking at some key races to watch heading into tomorrow. Today, we focus on a close contest shaping up in Maine. Here with more is our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli.
We've got an early indicator on election night of just what the race might mean for Republicans. Let's go into Maine, because Maine is a really interesting barometer. We're calling it the Blue Dog Barometer here, because Congressman Bruce Poliquin, he's the Republican incumbent, flipped this district in Maine and was able to win it for Republicans. But the president's trade policies in rural Maine are really giving a piece of the political appetite to Jared Golden. He's a Democrat state representative. He's raising the issue of health care. He says that Republicans have not done enough for health care, in particular for rural and white working class voters. But the trade policy is where this gets interesting, because lobsters, big in Maine, have really also taken a hit for the president's trade policies. So he's trying to put Congressman Poliquin on defense with that. But from the Republican standpoint, remember, Senator Susan Collins, the key vote for Justice Kavanaugh, this has nationalized this local race here. And also with regards to trade policy, he's saying that he has the president's ear, that he's been able to get NAFTA renegotiated. Clearly, the lumber industry up there taking a hit as well. We're going to get returns on this early. He is one of the only Republicans in New England for the Republican Party of the New England delegation. Watch to see if Democrats can win back white working class voters.
Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. And make sure to join us tomorrow night on Bloomberg Radio and Television for the latest results as they roll in. And then again Wednesday morning when we make sense of the vote and what it means for Wall Street and the White House right here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Futures this morning, they're higher. S&P futures up 2.5 points. Dow futures up 16. NASDAQ futures up 11. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 3.20%. And NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.33% or 22 cents. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow.